Welcome to the Healing Trauma Podcast. I'm your host, Monique Coven. I'm a certified trauma recovery coach, and this podcast is all about hope and recovery. Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking with Dr. Anna Kress again. She's been with us before. And we're going to talk about inner child or inner parts. We've talked about this before, and I am sure we're going to be talking about it again on future episodes because I think it's really important to understand that within us, there is this younger part that sometimes can get triggered. It can feel really young. Its responses can seem like they don't really maybe match what's going on in the present. And when we get to understand kind of the context of what's happening, for one thing, we can feel a little bit safer because it makes some sense. And we can show compassion to that part and give it what it needs. And this is so, so important in our healing and recovery journey because that wasn't done in the past. And we know we can't go back to the past. We only have what's available to us now. And so this is a beautiful way of healing that part of us in the present and attuning to it and attending to it. So I'm really happy to talk about this again and more. So that it can help you in your healing journey and in your moments of experiencing maybe triggers. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Monique. So good to be here. Great.
Good. Welcome back to the podcast.
So happy to be here again. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to be talking today more about inner child healing. And this topic comes up a lot because it's so important when we're thinking about healing and, you know, what's going on in our body. And the idea of inner child comes up a lot, and it's not always understood, like, what do you mean? I have like another person inside me, or so I thought we could talk a little bit about that. So when we say to someone, or we're trying to explain to someone that there's an inner child inside, what is an inner child? What is the inner child?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question because it seems so abstract, right? But really it's just the younger aspect of our personality. And it can change ages on different days or depending on what's activated. So sometimes it can feel like a five-year-old, you know, or sometimes it can feel kind of like an angry teenager, for example. So it's, you know, these different parts of our personality that get activated. And, you know, I think what's so important about doing any kind of trauma work is when we start giving it compassion and really, you know, understanding what it's gone through, what it's experienced, we can start having a secure attachment, you know, being a secure attachment figure for that inner child. And so it can kind of transform from being this more wounded inner child to being a healed inner child, you know, through that compassion that we show it.
Okay. So I still want to get a little bit, I want a little bit more clarity, because I think people are still wondering, do I have a child inside me or is this me? I think, maybe clarifying how sometimes when we haven't quite healed or addressed some of those mm-hmm. parts, they may get triggered in the present. And I do personally do see it as like a young part. Mm-hmm. It's us, but it's also a young part that still hasn't quite been acknowledged.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting too about that, and I totally agree that it is this young part that's usually not acknowledged. And so it can be kind of frozen in time, depending on, you know, maybe some wounding or traumatic experiences and actually not realize. So it's almost like it's been sort of hidden away, like these sort of pushed away parts of ourselves. And sometimes they're not even aware of our age. So they might not even be caught up to date to, you know, your, a 30, 40 something year old woman, and you have a job and you're capable. They might actually feel very much like a 5 year old and still kind of get activated and triggered and function as a 5 year old in those moments where, you know, you're sort of feel hijacked by the emotion of that 5 year old self. So it's really stuck in time. And so that's why it's so important to do that healing work, because these parts still get activated, and we sort of push them down, push them away. And that's actually, that doesn't really help the situation, but I certainly see why we do that, because it is so hard.
Yeah. And I think that this is where we're able to do for that child what wasn't done then. So they're frozen. They were never attended to. They were never attuned to. And when we're feeling activated now, and we feel like, for example, frozen or very frightened, knowing that, oh, this is a younger part that is feeling afraid. And you talked about compassion. That's where we can, in the present, let her know that, oh my goodness, we see you, and we're going to attune to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when that inner child feels validated, it can really be transformative. But I think a lot of us avoid it because, you know, we have these experiences where we try to show ourselves compassion. And what can happen sometimes is, because there's so much that we haven't looked at, maybe with those inner child, that inner child aspect of ourselves, what can happen is what's called backdraft, which is a term that's used by firefighters. And that's basically when, you know, all the fire has used up all the oxygen in a room, and you open a window or you open a door, and the fresh oxygen rushes in and flames rush out. So that's sort of what sometimes self-compassion, you know, when we start giving that to ourselves and really kind of opening our hearts, these old wounds and this pain can come out. And so sometimes it can be a little tricky because we have, you know, shame and fear and self-worth issues, and sometimes physical, you know, body memories kind of coming up. So it can be really hard and I think tricky, because, showing ourselves self-compassion is so important, but it's also sort of something we want to like guide ourselves through slowly too, because it can feel a little bit like, wow, there's a lot in there, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I've mentioned this before, and it's for some people, and that used to be myself many, many years ago, just the idea of showing that inner child or young part or compassion was, it felt, I didn't want to do it because I was angry at her. And I know that a lot of people can relate to that. And so, first of all, maybe you could help us understand, why is that? And then maybe what are some ways that we could gently, slowly see if we could tolerate a little compassion towards that part?
Yeah. And that is a common experience. So I'm so glad you brought that up, because we can feel, and I think it's surprising for people sometimes, because it seems like, well, it's a child, right? So I should feel sort of, you know, warm and caring. But sometimes we've had a lot of shaming experiences, or experiences that are tied up with a lot of shame. And certainly when we've had trauma, especially, there's a sense of, you know, vulnerability that's associated with that inner child and what they've been through. And so sometimes we can feel some anger and disgust and all these kinds of, you know, surprising emotions sometimes, because a lot of the shame is associated with that inner child. And so it's sometimes we need to be guided to have that sort of compassion towards it, to see like, wow, it's been through a lot. And sometimes even like, you know, like in therapy, for example, a therapist can give you the words to sort of use, or you see the therapist having so much compassion for that inner child. And that can be transformative, because you realize like, wow, actually that child didn't do anything wrong. They are innocent, and they start feeling compassion for them. So that is a common experience. And so sometimes it's really helpful to be guided in that process to see someone else have compassion, and also just to take it slowly and be mindful of our window of tolerance. Like, that's the idea. The window of tolerance is basically like, how much can I tolerate an emotion in this moment without shutting down or getting like overly activated and feeling, you know, sort of flooded with anxiety. So it's sort of like balancing that middle ground of like, how can I stay present? Do I have enough tools to stay present and grounded in the moment when I'm, you know, experiencing that inner child, maybe for the first time even?
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I agree with you. There is something, that was my case too, where I had a professional have empathy for the first time mm-hmm. on the inner child. And exactly, it was transformative because I think it's that piece that we have been waiting for. We wanted it from the caregivers, adults around us, and we may not have experienced that. But then when we have it in the present via, mm-hmm. you know, a practitioner, it really is transformational. That's important. The guidance of having someone with you and someone with her, or him.
Right.
Yeah, that's really good. Are there any signs that like our wounded child has been triggered or activated?
Yeah, I mean, I think that really you can look at a lot of emotions when we feel an emotion. And so when you have an emotion, you can ask yourself, you know, sort of do some sort of inquiry process, like what's going on there? And maybe like, how old do I feel right now? And sometimes that's a way in. The more obvious, I guess, way to sort of see the wounded kind of inner child is when we're being very reactive. So when we're sort of having a reaction that's maybe not in proportion to what is happening in the present. And so reactivity is a really, you know, good indicator of something coming up for the inner child. Sometimes it's also our desire for unhealthy things, right? So we want maybe, you know, some sort of, especially when you think about relationships, we're, you know, and that's really based on a hunger for an unmet need or a wound that the inner child has. So, you know, I would say like those are the three main areas where we could see it, like emotions, reactivity, or sometimes a desire for something, like whether it's a person or a thing that might not be healthy for us in that moment. And I think what's important too is when we get triggered is to recognize that we're being triggered, that we're triggered, you know, so we can say to ourselves like, okay, I'm really triggered right now. What do I need to feel safe? And maybe using some grounding, some, you know, breath work in that moment to feel embodied and safe in the present moment. And that can help us really not be, you know, so we can be with the inner child, but not be totally in it, so that we can, you know, we are not going to be blended with it and acting from that inner child part, but rather we can kind of step back and see what's happening.
So could you just clarify for us, what are some of the words that we could use in that moment so that we're not, like you said, you made that distinction between being with it as mm-hmm. opposed to being in it. What kind of guidance could you recommend to say?
Yeah, so we can, you know, if it's, let's say it's anxiety or something like that, we can use some soothing in that moment. You know, we can say nurturing and reassuring things. I'm trying to think of an example. Let's just say it's, let's say you're having a panic attack, right? So that would mm-hmm. be an intense kind of reaction of not feeling safe, not, you know, our body's not feeling present. And in that moment, we could say, you know, I see that you're feeling really unsafe right now. I'm here for you. I'm with you. Take as much time as you need. And some, you know, you can even do physical things, right? You can put your hand on your heart. You can do some deep breathing to soothe it. So it's a lot of these kind of self-compassionate practices. You know, whether, maybe let's say it's a different example of something is upsetting you. And maybe it's, again, disproportionate to what's happening in the situation, but it's kind of reminding you of something in the past. Then you can say, of course you feel upset. Of course you feel upset. That makes sense. I get it. You know,
so you're really clarifying right there how there is this resilient adult mm-hmm. different part than the child.
Yes, yeah. So you're really, you know, letting it know that, you know, it's a reparenting process where you aren't showing up as the child, but rather the part or the you know, wise adult aspect of your personality that's going to help take care of this child. So you're letting them know, I'm here for you. I want to listen to what you have to tell me. You know, I'm here to keep you safe. Those kind of messages that you can send to that child, it kind of makes you recognize like, oh, wait, that I'm getting activated, but I don't have to act from that inner mm-hmm. child. I'm here to take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're really doing acknowledging also a separation. Mm-hmm. Because like you use the word enmeshed, that's what mm-hmm. the experience often is it's so overwhelming that we think in that moment, I am the child, I am being yeah. taken over by the child. So I love that. You know, it's like a piece of empowerment, a reminder that, you know, there is this resilient part and we're going to bring her back here.
Right.
And she's going to take care of the child that's needing some attention and some comfort. Is our inner child always pleased when we start giving it attention, or can it sometimes be mad or angry?
I mean, that's a great question, because I think sometimes people are a little thrown off, you know, when they're given kind of like exercises to engage with the inner child or some kind of guided meditations. They're expecting it to always be a good experience. And usually it is, right? Usually the inner child is thrilled. They're like, yes, finally I have some attention, you know, but sometimes they're actually mad or really suspicious of us. You know, they are sort of wondering like, where have you been when I needed you? And that can happen. And that's not like an indication of stopping. That's actually an indication for doing some repair work, right? As our adult self, we, you know, if that's the case, we want to hear it out. We want to acknowledge its feelings. We want to apologize, you know, whether it's, you know, in our minds or sort of through a letter or some sort of process. Let it know that we're sorry and that we're actually going to be here for it from now on. Because it's been waiting for us. And it, you know, it does take time to build trust when you have, in a sense, I don't want to say abandoned, that sounds dramatic, but it's something that we've pushed away for a long time, usually. So sometimes that requires some repair work on our part. And, you know, that's, I think, really valuable work and worthwhile. So even though it seems a little daunting, I think it's worth the effort. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just keep, you know, having the image of the child that had no one, and now just feeling the assurance when you tell that part that, you know, I'm going to be here for you. I'm not going to let anything happen to you. The relief mm-hmm. that inner child will feel inside. Yeah.
And often too, like, you know, you're describing the relief. I'm imagining like a lot of this is very imaginative and creative kind of work, you know, whether it's a guided meditation or a coach or therapist walking you through a process, or you're doing something on your own. A lot of it is like, you know, people get visuals of a child, and it's really fascinating to see what comes up, because often, you know, it is such a happy child. You know, once you release some of the burdens that it's carrying and it's getting attention, they're just like, they're kind of jumping up and down, dancing and joyful. And it's really interesting to see those images coming up for people. So I do want to say that there is, that is very within reach for, you know, walking through that process, is this sort of joyful child that comes up.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And you've seen that experience with your clients?
Oh yeah. I mean, the way I sort of work is we go through this process of, you know, I do IFS, internal family system. So you kind of do this inner child work, and, you know, they kind of will voice whatever is happening or what they're seeing in their imagination. And it's a lot of imagery, and it's so fascinating to see an angry child turning into sort of a child that's hugging them, mm-hmm. you know? And so that process is very, I think, valuable and rewarding yeah. for someone going through it.
Yeah. Wonderful. I mean, isn't that what we want? We just, you know, we want to see our child happy.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. Are there any kind of mantras or affirmations that can support inner child healing?
Yeah. I mean, we can use like mantras for ourselves, like using the word I, you know, we can say things like, you know, I have choices. I can ask for what I need. I'm capable. It's okay to take care of myself. I'm an adult and I can speak up for myself. So we can do those kind of, you know, affirmations or mantras, or we can do ones that are maybe more directed towards the inner child, specifically things like, I'll keep you safe and I'm here for you. I want to hear what you have to say. You're worthy of good things. And I think when we say these kind of things, and, you know, you sometimes see these in books, and I think that's always helpful to have a sort of something to work with when you're trying these different things. And, you know, pinpoint which ones get an emotional reaction from you. You know, something that might bring tears to your eyes, for example. Maybe those weren't it, but like if there is one that is specifically maybe really hitting home, then maybe thinking about that one for a little bit and seeing and working with that, that can be helpful for doing some healing work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like listening. And again, the one that stuck out to me is when you said, I will keep you safe, mm-hmm. you know, got a reaction. And I mm-hmm. think that that's one that many people would respond to. And so let's say they have that. Then when you say, think about it for a while, you mean think about it and see what comes up for them?
Yeah, just maybe recognizing, again, it's you know, a big part of doing any kind of like inner child work is a lot of dialogue. So you're literally just having a conversation in your head. And so if, you know, the inner child needs to be kept safe, like that one would probably indicate like safety is important. And then you want to go into, you know, maybe getting specific from that part, from that inner child, maybe asking like, what do you need to be feel safe? Or are there things I can do? And really committing to whatever healthy things they're needing. Because a lot of the like reparenting isn't just nurturing, but it's also protection, right? So it's giving that younger part the kind of protection that it really needed, whether that's like boundaries in your own life or, you know, well, mostly boundaries, right?
Yeah.
In whatever way that, you know, whatever way that comes up in so many different ways. But really, you know, making it very clear that you're committed to doing that. It's the same way that we would, like if you're a parent, the same way you would for your children, right? That you would really go to bat for them. That if they were in an unsafe situation, you would take them right out of that situation and you would confront whatever needed to be confronted and you would advocate for them. That's the same way that our inner child needs to feel safe, that we would really go to bat for them, that we have their back.
Yeah, no, that's so beautiful. And I'm going to give a personal example. I've shared this mm-hmm. with my own clients many times, but it really kind of gives a picture. And I remember I was talking to, I was very activated after a conversation with a family member, and I didn't realize it. And then I realized that it was because I just had a conversation.
Right.
And then I took some time alone to spend time with my inner child. And I realized it was because she was feeling threat from the mm-hmm. past. And so I said to her, you don't have to worry. I will never let her or anyone touch you again, ever. And I could feel my arms mm-hmm. physically start to relax. And I've had my clients come back to me and say, I did the same sort of thing. And I felt really, peace. I felt inside some. So that's exactly what you're talking about. And I think that they want to know that today you're going to protect them through boundaries. Yeah,
absolutely. And that's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. That just gave me chills. That's just really, I think that's the message that the inner child needs to hear most.
Yeah. I
and
agree.
Once you do that, you feel so much freer and safer in the world because you know that there are things that you will not allow.
Yes.
So that's beautiful. Yeah, I love that.
So are there any kind of exercises that you could maybe recommend for our listeners where they could communicate or try to communicate with their inner child?
Yeah. So there's of course the dialogue, starting a conversation. There's a lot of guided meditations that you can try out in different workbooks and things like that. Different books have them. One of my favorite books is actually Homecoming, Reclaiming and Healing Your Inner Child by John Bradshaw.
Yeah, that's an oldie.
Oldie but goodie. I have to say, it's such a classic. And I revisited it this year and I was like, Oh my gosh, this is so good. You
Wow.
know, because if you look at the more modern kind of like, therapies like internal family systems, for example, like parts work, where you're working with different aspects of your personality. I mean, so much of it overlaps, right? A lot of these theories, you kind of can look at them, and a lot of them have similar kind of, when it comes to inner child work, similar messages. And so that one's an oldie but goodie. What I like about that one is it goes through the different developmental stages of growing up. So it might look at like your preschool self. It might look at your, elementary school yourself, your preteen, your high school self, and it kind of reclaims all of those inner child parts. And it's about sort of bringing that all together. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good. So yeah, I would say that's a classic, but I think that, inner child healing is having sort of a resurgence. I think we are seeing a lot more of that in popular culture right now, and certainly we could use all the healing we could get right now. So that's a really good one. But really, any workbook or guided meditation you can find is helpful. One thing that often you'll find in these kind of books and guided meditations, or not guided meditations, but books and workbooks, is writing to your child with your right hand, or well, your dominant hand, and then having the inner child write back in your non-dominant hand. So you might ask a question: what do you need from me? And then use your non-dominant hand and allow that inner child, because again, that's like accessing a different part of our brain, more creative and things like that. So it's more unconscious. So you're going to get some material there that might be really interesting. And I don't know if you've ever tried that, but it's really fascinating to do that process. You can also write letters. So you can write letters to your inner child, especially if you feel like there's like a repair process that needs to happen. You can ask for forgiveness through letters. So dialogue. Another thing you can try too is to, because our inner child doesn't really recognize necessarily that we're an adult now and that we're capable, like you said, kind of like of taking care of them and setting those boundaries and doing the things that need to be done to protect it. Sometimes it's good to sort of make a list of things that remind you that you are a capable adult. I pay a mortgage, or I have a job. I can buy what I, need to buy to take care of myself, or whatever is the case for you. Like I pay taxes, or whatever the thing might
I
be.
drive my
These
kids to
are Yes,
preschool.
exactly. All the things that make you feel like a capable adult, that you can, exactly. Like I help them with their homework or whatever the thing might
That's
be. You
great.
can make a list of those things, and that kind of reminds you that you are a very resourceful, capable adult. And so that could be a good exercise too.
Oh, that's great, really. What are like the different aspects or steps to reparenting our inner child?
Yeah, so I would say that, it really begins with giving them attention, because they do feel so alone and exiled often, kind of just pushed away. So letting it know that it's not alone anymore, that we want to hear it, we want to see it, that we're there for it, to comfort it, to reassure it, to protect it. So that would be like the first thing I would say is definitely the attention. The second thing is just noticing when we're triggered. So that rather than identifying with that helpless or enraged or afraid child, we can be the loving adult who's taking care of it. So that, mindfulness and things like that can help with that differentiation process. Or so like you said, we're not enmeshed with it, but we're noticing when we're triggered. And then the third thing, is really self-care. And that doesn't necessarily look like, spa treatments. It really looks a lot more like, what does my inner child need right now? And it might be like some rest, or it might be more play, or it might be, to address an issue. It might be some boundaries. So, and really following through with that, because I think that's really the important thing, is to, follow through and commit to those things that are nurturing and protecting. When it comes to self-care, you hear a lot about this idea of self-betrayal, on social media especially. That's really popular to talk about right now, is like And what does that really mean? That means that we're not taking care of the inner child, that we're not showing up for it, that we don't have its back, really is what it really comes down to. And so that nurturing and that protection, that self-care is a big part of that reparenting process so that our inner child feels nurtured and safe.
Yeah, I love that. I really do. So then what does it look like to have your inner child, quote unquote, healed?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely a process and you know, like you're implying, there's no perfect end date to that healing, right? But when we're in the process of healing and when we're sort of a little bit coming out the other side, there is a sense of vitality and joy and energy that might not have been there before. Part of that is because we're more embodied, right? We bring that inner child into our present when we do interact with it and work towards healing it. We bring it into the present, so we feel more alive and more, you know, renewed sense of energy in our bodies, but also like for living, you know, for the things that we want to engage in the world, because we don't feel so stuck and we feel safer because we know we have the boundaries we need, more or less, right? We're always working on those, but we know that we can work on boundaries and be aware of that. So we might be more, you know, comfortable with doing things in the world. We might be more playful. You know, positive emotions and play can be scary when you feel unsafe and your inner child is very wounded, you know. So when you start to work on that healing, it, you know, you might actually start enjoying more things in the world. And so, you know, really feeling more present, embodied, much more secure. And also, I would say the last thing too, which I find so interesting, is that we tend to, and this is something that I really focus on when it comes to like goals and things like that, is we also tend to be less graspy when it comes to things that we desire in the world. So because we work with the inner child, and they feel like we're their sense of home, we've got their back, we're taking care of them, we've healed some of the unmet needs that they had, that there is a sense of, I don't want to say calm because that's, you know, maybe overselling it, but there is a sense of, you know, I'm taken care of. I don't need all these other things maybe in the world. I can enjoy them, but I don't need to grasp at them. You know, does that make sense? Kind of like there's.
It makes total sense because a lot of times, you know, they're grasping at them so that they could feel some sense of peace. And so if they're getting what they've always needed and they're starting to get it, yeah, you're going to feel less anxious in your body. So, and more satisfied with just being, which is so lovely.
And that's what I teach. I do like trauma-informed manifesting workshops. So I teach goals and working with, you know, different manifestation practices to make them more trauma sensitive and trauma informed. And that is a piece of it, is sort of like when you work with that inner child, there is a sense of a little bit more satisfaction in life and actually enjoying and savoring the smaller things and feeling like your needs are met. And so that's a piece of it, is doing that healing work.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. This whole conversation was so beautiful because really that's how we heal in the present. We can't go back and create a different childhood. It's, you know, we can't do that as much as it would be nice to, but we can heal that child in the present through our own, as you said, reparenting. And when that child feels like they're safe, they're attuned to, they're seen, they're heard, they're validated, we're going to feel different in our bodies. Well, thank you so much again, Anna, for coming and sharing so much wisdom with us. And so how can people, if they want to find out more about your work, get in touch with you, how can they do that?
So they can reach me on my website, dranacress.com. That's DrannaKress.com, or on Instagram at dranacress. Those are the best ways to reach me.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure.
If you're curious about finding out more information about trauma recovery coaching with me, you can find that out on my website, www.cptsdcoach.com. I also have a Facebook and Instagram page at cptsdcoach.